How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
And we're live. Welcome to the Lakers Lounge. This is not Lakers late night, although it's dark out. That'd be the one thing, you know, lately when we've been doing it, what would have been Lakers late night, it was daytime, so that didn't really work. But we are in the Lakers Lounge. I am drinking a festive adult beverage to celebrate the Lakers getting Brandon Ingram and drafting the second coming of Pau Gasol, according to a whole bunch of people on my timeline. I'm joined by Sasha Vujicic. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan, who was once drafted. Sasha Vujicic was drafted by the Lakers, right? So,
yeah. I prefer the title just to like avoid like lawsuits. Renowned Sasha Vujicic impersonator Harrison Fagan.
just take me really quick. Like, what was draft night like? What was, you know, that when that dream comes through true that you're officially a Laker, what was that moment like, Sasha?
Well, it was a blur for me personally, because I wasn't a dedicated enough Laker fan at the time to pay attention to wherever they drafted Sasha. And so I probably didn't hear about it until like the next day. So I don't really know what I was doing when I was drafted, but, you know, I heard about it eventually. Like probably definitely by the 2008 finals, I knew I was on the Lakers.
Perfect. Eventually you found out you were a Laker. That's good.
Yeah.
Know.
It was like right in whatever that huge game Sasha had in the 2008 finals. I forget which game that was, but he had one where he was playing really well. And it was that one. I was like, oh, got to play.
did you ever learn what it meant to be a Laker? Like you found out eventually that you were a Laker, but did you ever learn what it truly means to be a Laker? Or did Byron Scott not impart that, even though he wasn't coaching you then?
Well, you know, I think definitely by the time that we won that second championship, when I hit the free throws in Boston in that game, that, you know, three people understand this reference. So we should probably move on to the draft and what people actually tuned in for.
Oh, we aren't, I'm not supposed to do an interview of Sasha Vujicic through you for the whole show?
I mean, like we can, but I'm pretty sure that I'll never get credentialed again. So.
All right.
And I honestly wouldn't blame them if I did a 30-minute interview pretending to be Sasha Vujicic. You know, they'd be like, no, you know, that's not really journalistic behavior.
All right, I guess we'll move on. Today was draft day, and it was nuts. I don't think I can understate. There was a time I actually just tweeted out, I give up. I'm not going to try to keep up with this anymore. Did you ever get that vibe where you were trying to keep up with the timeline?
No, you know why? Because I was so busy just keeping up with just what the Lakers were doing that, you asked me like by like the 25th pick, you're like, is this player available? And I was like, well, you know, to be honest, I'm not really sure. Because I was just, it was after that Ingram thing hit, it was just kind of a deluge of writing, and we had to cover it because he gave his interviews, Mitch Kupchak gave his interview, Luke Walton gave his interview, and it's just, again, it really just goes to show how much more positive these presser things have been under this, you know, since who shall not be named left the building. And I mean, some of that is the nature, you know, a press conference hiring Luke Walton is obviously a press conference hiring a coach is obviously going to be a lot more positive than any in-season press conference you're going to get for the most part. Same thing for when a guy's drafted. It's like you're never like more highly looked at than right when a team brings you in and they're trying to sell their fans on you. And so some of that, huh?
Or when you die, like. You get eulogized, and there's all that stuff.
Okay. That went really dark.
It's been a weird day, man. I can't – and it's not even, right. Like, I joked that I was going to do the Billis drinking game, but it was honestly just, it was so much news going on.
You couldn't keep up with the Wingspan references?
I honestly, well, that's the thing, is that today, for the first time, Adrian Wojnarowski and Yahoo had their draft coverage, which was streaming on my computer, and then ESPN was on in the background, and I was paying attention to the timeline to see if, you know, Stein or whoever was breaking any kind of news. And between those three avenues of information just streaming in constantly, I got completely bungled up, because you have ESPN acting as if no rumors have ever happened. It's literally look now.
Don't worry, guys. We're only 9 picks behind Woj at this point. We'll catch them.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And you know, you'd look down and be like, wait, they're on pick. Wait, Woj just said pick 18. How are you guys on 9? How did, yeah, you know? It was a crazy, crazy day. But it wasn't very crazy for the Lakers, who took the guy that everybody anticipated they were going to take, and then made their 32nd pick was not somebody who anybody really knows, and we'll talk about him in a bit. But I guess I kind of want to start with Lakers don't leak, right? You know, we've talked about what Brandon Ingram brings to the Lakers. He's long. He plays a position the Lakers desperately need somebody to be good at. But for me, what I thought was just as, if not more interesting than anything else, was how stupid everybody looks when you look back on all those rumors about, you know, Ingram or Russell or whatever, and nothing winds up coming to actually take place. Am I being too hard on the people reporting that there, or?
I think in some ways you are, because a move doesn't happen doesn't mean that there weren't talks about it. It just means that those talks didn't end up going anywhere. So I don't, when someone reports, I forgot exactly who it was that reported that the Kings were looking to acquire D'Angelo Russell. Was it Stein?
Stein.
I think it was Stein. But anyway, you know, when someone like that reports that, I don't not believe their report. I totally would buy that the Kings definitely wanted to acquire D'Angelo Russell. I don't think that those talks really went anywhere. I don't think that they probably went very far, but I'd believe it. Just like I believe that leak today that Phil Jackson told Derrick Rose that he wants to pursue Kevin Durant. Like, well, duh. So do 29 other teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably a couple EuroLeague teams if KD would give them a meeting. But you know, so I think you're being a little harsh on the people reporting. I'm sure the Lakers are like any other organization. There are leaks that I'm sure sometimes come from them. But I think that in general, they're a less leaky ship than a team like the Boston Celtics, who were inches from acquiring every superstar you've ever heard of since Danny Ainge took over. And, you know, we were just unlucky on this one, guys. We offered them all this stuff and they wouldn't take it.
Can we just take a second to revel in how bad the Celtics night went?
Like, I mean, so I would if I knew for a fact, like you know, that there it was going to be that bad. Like, I'm high on Brown as a prospect, so I kind of like him at number 3. But I think that it's a horrible fit for him with the Celtics, because they need shooting and he doesn't do that. And he needs shooting to succeed as a prospect. That was the big thing at Berkeley with why he struggled so much, was he didn't have shooting around him, and that people were like, oh, okay, he's going to get to the NBA. He's going to have shooters around him. He's going to look a lot better at the NBA. Well, maybe not on the Celtics, where their biggest need was shooters. And yeah. So I think that he's going to help their defense. I think their defense is going to be really good next year, but yeah, I think that I don't know how good that pick's going to end up looking for them ultimately. And the other guys, I just all I saw was the people who actually follow the draft a lot more closely than I do, tweeting out various kind of variations on LMAO every time the Celtics pick someone.
Yeah.
OMG, they're totally reaching. And yeah, so that's kind of been a theme with Danny Ainge drafts. And I just think he values players much more differently than other people do.
I we aren't going to talk forever about the Celtics, but it was just because I follow a couple people. Obviously, Snotty Drippin or James has obviously been on the podcast here before.
As Lakers fans know him, the guy who someone challenged to a fight in Temecula.
Right, right. And then, you know, I follow Real Bob Manning. He was crossing across my timeline, and then they were retweeting
Bob Manning.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to dog the guy, but I was seeing their responses to draft picks, and then retweeting other people's responses to draft picks, and then to start the day off, my favorite tweet of the day was Jeff Goodman saying how confident Danny Ainge looked walking into the Garden, which was just phenomenal. Because of how bad he's been at previous press conference. So, I mean, when you look at it, the Lakers, they had a pretty successful draft themselves, and then it's made even better by those damn Celtics having as bad a draft as I've ever seen, really. But all right, so we'll talk. I wanted to keep on going though about the media and how it was all reported, because I do take it somewhat personally when people with legitimate platforms just seem to speculate and that becomes reports, right? And they can't help it. Like Chad Ford couldn't help that people took and ran with his sentiment that the Lakers could hypothetically do something like that.
Yeah, because just to jump in here really quick, like he definitely, the next mock draft he came out with was much more clear, and it was pretty obvious that he was trying to keep people like knowing that it was his opinion. So I think that he regrets like phrasing his comments on SportsCenter that way, because mm-hmm. he was just talking, and I think sometimes when you're talking, it's hard to kind of tell the line between when someone's reporting something and when someone is just giving their opinion, especially when they're switching back and forth like he does. And mm-hmm. so I think he knows that his comments were kind of taken out of context and ran with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like I said, I can't blame him for people running with reports the way they were going to. And that's the thing, is that people at this point know, like agents in the NBA know that as soon as you tie your, part of an agent's job is to tie a free agent back to the Lakers, because it shows that, oh my God, well, if the Lakers are interested, then there's a reason why other teams should be interested, right? Or it might drive up prices. And then it's gotten to the point now where if you say Lakers in trade in a headline, people are going to click it. And what bothers me at this point is that people know this, and people just say a bunch of stuff hoping for either retweets or aggregation or whatever. And I think a lot of times it comes across to me as baseless, and I don't even want to say reporting, because I don't think there's any actual reporting going on, or there's very minimal reporting on both sides going on, because it sounded today like a whole bunch of teams were calling the Lakers, but it wasn't necessarily like the Lakers were calling anybody about, hey, do we want to move Russell or the second pick? Did you catch that same vibe too?
Yeah, well, I mean, the report from Ramona Shelburne was that Mitch Kupchak's phone was ringing off the hook, and ringing off the hook kind of implies that, it wasn't being answered, because if the phone's getting answered, then it's not going to be ringing off the hook. You're going to be getting a call beeping signals off the hook. So just to take that literally, it sounds like they were getting a lot of calls that I think the implication of that is that they were getting a lot of calls that they weren't necessarily taking. And Mitch said, hey, we got a lot of offers for the number two pick, and there was nothing that intrigued us. And he's probably right. They probably got a lot of crappy offers from teams for D'Angelo Russell, like teams like say the Pelicans or somebody, like mm-hmm. throwing their draft pick and being like, hey, want to unload this guy that keeps trying to spy on your team, right? Remember that? You want to throw him away when his value's at its lowest, right?
Will this story ever go away?
No, I don't think the story's ever going to go away, but I do think that it's going to go away eventually as people using it derogatorily, and I think that it will continue to be a joke probably for the rest of his career. I don't know that even if he became like a top five player of all time, people wouldn't be making Snapchat jokes at his retirement ceremony, yes. Which, to be clear, I don't think that that's where he's headed for. That's pretty ridiculous, but... So I think the Snapchat thing is always going to be around, but I don't think that it's going to be used to kind of like as a catch-all criticism for him, where it's like, oh, D'Angelo Russell's a bust, Snapchat. D'Angelo Russell's immature, Snapchat. D'Angelo Russell's a bad teammate, Snapchat. Like, and that's just kind of the primary reason for people that didn't really watch him play to criticize him. Right. So I think that that part of it is going to go away. I don't think that it will ever entirely go away.
I was watching ESPN, especially at the very beginning, before the Lakers were about to take Ingram, right? And the entire conversation about Russell was about the Snapchat situation. They didn't mention what he did on the court. They didn't mention any kind of, you know, he was the second team all rookie and stuff. It was only the Snapchat story. And I hope you're right. I'm really sick of this story, especially as it seems groundless at this point, right? It's lazy on Jalen Rose and Mike Wilbon's part to just harp on a story that really out here in LA, it's become a punchline. It's not a serious thing unless you're Nick Young, and he won't be in LA for very much longer either. So,
I mean, to be fair to Jalen, it's easier to talk about that than players that you haven't watched ever. Or because, you know, we know he doesn't watch like a ton of tape, because Kobe probably wouldn't have been able to get to 81 on him if he had just like watched like a little bit more, you'd think. So
either
just to be, and like Wilbon, like he's a national media superstar. Like, he doesn't have time to be sitting in his basement like us bloggers and actually watch the players that he's criticizing. Like, yeah. It's a lot easier to just kind of like read headlines about them and formulate opinions.
That was very well done. Shade mission accomplished. That was great. All right. So,
can you tell I've been working on it?
I mean, anything else to add about Russell or Ingram or the direction?
No, I think LA made exactly the right pick with Ingram. I'm glad that they didn't overthink it. They made the simple call. I like that he has this quiet confidence about him, where he's already kind of mentioning offhand he wants to be rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. And he's been talking about, you know, showing whatever team that picks him that they're going to make the right choice, with the implication being the teams that didn't pick him made the wrong choice. And so I like his quiet confidence. He seems like a good locker room personality. On the court, he obviously fits in perfectly with the Lakers and everything that they're trying to build. And mm-hmm. so I just think that this was a big move for the franchise. I think that was huge. And as far as the trade rumor stuff goes, like, you know, that's all, that kind of thing is not going to stop as long as the Lakers are SEO gold.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess we'll just move on to their second round pick, the 32nd overall pick.
Ivica Zubac.
Did you Google how to say it?
Because I looked up the pronunciation for you because I wanted to save you from that. So you're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you very much. So Ivica Zubac and
Ivica, I think, like sa. I think.
Well, there we go.
Almost. I tried.
But anywho, there a lot of people, and this is the thing, and this is what I was ranting on Twitter about yesterday, was how a lot of times it feels like there's a whole bunch of speculation from people that I don't necessarily put in the hours to really say the things they say about the guys that they're grading heading into the draft. I'd much rather just admit, you know, ahead of time. And this isn't me being lazy. This is me staying in my lane. I recognize that I don't know very much about the draft. I don't think it's possible to know very much about the draft. I think it's one of the, at both times or simultaneously the hardest and easiest job to do, because people know going in you're going to be wrong a bunch, but people, I mean, you're going to be wrong a bunch, which makes it really hard. So, but a lot of people that I found or I trust talking about the draft, Jonathan Charks, David Pick and Givney from Draft Express. Yeah. All three of those guys who I hold as the best guys talking about the draft.
They're kind of the holy trinity for at least Pick, especially for international guys.
Right. So they all really, really liked the pick, Zubac. Yeah. And Fran Fraschilla said that he's not quite ready. That I it sounded like ideally
he's just 19, and actually he only played like 13 minutes a game last year for in the Adriatic League. Mm-hmm. And he played 13 minutes a game. He averaged 6 points and 3 rebounds with 1.2 blocks, but he did shoot 57.7% from the field, so that's pretty good. He's also just 19, and he's 7'1", which means that he hasn't really grown into his limbs yet, most likely, and so that kind of, he's probably going to get more coordinated as time goes on. And again, to be completely clear, I have not watched film on him yet. I had no idea who this guy was until tonight. But I think Lakers fans are going to be pretty happy with the pick just off the way he was talking in his conference call with the media. I don't know if you caught any of those quotes coming through.
He welcomed the comparison to Pau Gasol, right? Did he?
Yeah, he welcomed a comparison to Pau Gasol. He said that he has Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, and Andrew Bynum jerseys. He said he's a Lakers fan, and that for the last 8 picks before the Lakers took him, he was rooting for the teams not to take him. Says it's a dream come true, and he said he stayed up till, like, I think he said he stayed up till 4 a.m. to watch Kobe's last game when he had a practice at 10 the next day. So, like, this guy is like the Lakers drafted a Lakers fan.
I'm perfectly happy with and the other thing too is and this,
like,
is
he's
where
he's gonna be walking around asking people for autographs on his first day in the facility.
He's gonna show up. Hey, is there any chance Kobe might be here? But I this is where there's this fine line between it getting ridiculous and it still being a thing, because I still think I think there is something to a player welcoming the title or whatever, everything that comes along with being a Laker, right? I'm not saying I hate it when they say so-and-so knows what it takes to be a Laker, right? I make fun of that all the time. But the example I kind of come back to is when they made the trade for Shannon Brown, and I heard him talking about, you know, the opportunity to be a Laker. And I thought to myself when they made the trade, because Adam Morrison was also in that trade, right? And Adam Morrison was the bigger name in the trade, but Shannon Brown wound up doing a lot more for the Lakers than Morrison wound up doing. And at the time when I heard Brown talk about, you know, how excited he was to be a Laker and what it took to deal with the media and the spotlight that comes along with being a Laker, I'm not saying it's any kind of end all or be all, but it's a nice place to start before you actually see a kid get on the court.
Yeah, and I think that to clarify, kind of like is this kind of, I think what you're kind of trying to say is that you like it when it's a guy and he's kind of embracing everything like that comes with LA and the Lakers and all that, and it's not being used as a kind of a term to describe he knows how to win. It's not being used as a synonym for this guy has a championship mentality or like stuff like that. Like you're taking it more as like they understand kind of how to turn a phrase, like how to turn a quote. Like they know like what Lakers fans are going to react to. Yeah, they clearly know the history of the franchise.
They know what they're getting themselves into or what they're getting into, right? Where I think sometimes there are certain players out there, Dwight Howard comes to mind, who didn't necessarily embrace everything that came with being a Laker, you know? And you would think that Dwight would have enjoyed the spotlight, but
he did at first until the spotlight was illuminating negative things.
Yeah, right. When the spotlight turned into an X-ray, he was not thrilled. All right, so I guess the Lakers right now, as it stands, have and I hate to say this, I tweeted this out, but I think this is the end of the Robert Sacre era in Los Angeles, especially if Zubac anticipates or is coming over right away. I just don't see any need to have Sacre.
Yeah, and it sounds like he is. He told the media he is.
Mm-hmm. So if you, as it stands right now, the starting five looks to be Russell, Clarkson, Ingram, Randall, Whiteside signing potentially, Al Horford maybe, you never know.
Okay, they aren't signing Horford and Whiteside. I'm willing to kind of rule that out. I think that's unlikely.
They won't. Wait, are you saying they won't sign either of them or both of them?
No, and oh, okay, like, together, in tandem. I don't think that they're going to sign both of those guys. I do agree that the Sacre era is almost certainly over at this point.
Right. And
right now he's the longest tenured Laker, though. Until that happens, he's officially the longest tenured Laker.
Yep.
And I think that might actually be Randall if Sacre is out the door.
Oh my God.
It's either no, it's Young.
Oh, it's even worse. So the Lakers, anywho, but the holes that they need to fill coming into free agency, which is about, what, a week away? We're about a week away from
– Yeah, July 1st, exactly a week away.
Right, so heading into free agency, the holes that the Lakers need to fill are obviously they needed center. I would not be thrilled with entering next season with Zubac as the starting center next year. And I'd like them to go after some kind of wing, whether it's Batum or whatever.
They need Barnes. Depth at that position, whether it's someone to play behind Ingram or somebody to play ahead of him.
Right. If you had to pick one or the other, if you know, because they can only, I guess, hypothetically make one call at 12:01 midnight on July 1st. Who are you calling, and why?
So they can only make one call at midnight, and we're talking about just need, or we're talking about a specific player?
Either. Whatever.
Okay, well, I guess I think their bigger need is center. So I think that my first call at 12:01, especially because this seems like the type of guy that's going to appreciate this, is Hassan Whiteside.
That makes
sense.
Because
I think that he kind of fits a lot of what – he fits everything they need. He seems like the type of guy that really wants to be recruited. He wants to be wanted after not being wanted for the early parts of his career. And, you know, while the Lakers might be at a deficit by having passed on him right before the Heat ended up signing him, I think that that might help them close the gap maybe a little bit if they just call him and they're like, hey, Hassan, we really messed up. Here's $120 million. Want to come home?
Home.
Oh, yeah, home. Not home, but hey, for $120 million, I'll call pretty much anywhere home.
Fair point.
Yeah. And so I think Hassan Whiteside is kind of first call at free. Though now, I don't expect that to be the type of guy that the Lakers actually do that with, but that would be my call.
I guess I agree that Whiteside would really appreciate being the Lakers' first call. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of interesting that usually in these situations, the team that is going into the free agency has a call to make to their own guys, right? Like the Lakers' first call when Dwight Howard was going to be a free agent was to Dwight Howard,
right? Yeah.
You think. So in this case, you know, with Whiteside being available and the way he would welcome being the first call is great. The one thing that I'm hoping – I agree with you, by the way. I'd say Whiteside would be my first call, or Batum. Either Whiteside or Batum.
I just don't think Batum's coming. Everything that we've heard is he wants to re-sign with Charlotte as quickly as possible so that he can play in the Olympics.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then all the more to him. And Chris Barnwell is going to at me ferociously as soon as he re-signs. But I would say that what I don't want the Lakers to do is, you know, waste too much time on Durant or LeBron or whatever. They've gotten themselves into trouble with that before, and I've said this before on the podcast. I would much rather the Lakers make a realistic first call and then, you know, throw a feeler out there to LeBron and or Durant and kind of take it from there. But they can't sit around and wait while guys fall off the board, especially at a position of need like center, where they have legitimately nobody next year.
Yeah, that's their biggest hole right now. Now that they have Ingram, it's definitely center. The two spots were equal before they picked Ingram, but now it's definitely center that's the bigger area of need.
Right, so I look forward to being able to buy my Hassan Whiteside jerseys. Jersey. I wouldn't buy more than one of them.
There are multiple colors and stuff. Like, I don't know how big of a Hassan Whiteside fan you are.
Man, I'm not about that life, boss.
He'd instantly have the best Snapchat of any Laker.
Should I get a Snapchat? I'm not on Snapchat.
I don't want to have to teach you how to use it, no.
That's a very good point. All right. Breaking news, Anthony is not getting a Snapchat. We'll end on that note. We'll go ahead and call it a night. You got a rest. You worked your ass off today to get all the news across. Great work there for Silver Screen and Roll. And, welcome to the Brandon Ingram era. Daniel Berge tweeted it out today, and I've said it a few times. The Lakers all of a sudden have a really fun core. That, and not necessarily just, you know, the type of guys they are being fun, but the brand of basketball that the core they have put together is a lot of fun. Whereas you look at, you know, again, and I'm going to throw some more shade at Boston because they're effing Boston, but you look at the guys that they've put together and it's a really, their offense is going to be constipated, right? Unless they get into transition. Whereas these guys look like no matter what kind of style of play that they need to make work, it looks like they can. And you have an exciting coach like Walton. And again, you know, they have all kinds of room to make some kind of move in free agency. It's a really exciting time to be a Laker fan.
I would 100% agree with you. I think that, and I think I've written that, like, I think that's been the close of like three pieces I've written over the last 24 hours. So I do apologize for that, for anyone that feels like it's repetitive, but I think I changed it up enough. But yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the vibe around here right now. So it's like, I'm just kind of reporting the fact, like everybody seems really excited. And yeah, that was the case last summer, but not even to this degree. Like, because there was still the specter of, like, is Byron going to mess all this up? Is Kobe going to chew one of the guys out two games into the season and destroy their confidence? Mm-hmm. You know, there was still this stuff, like, kind of hanging over the franchise. And now there's none of that. It's, like, it's just, like, it's the young guys and it's Luke relentlessly encouraging them and saying there's nothing to fix in Russell's game and all this stuff. And there's just, like, I've heard more positivity about the young guys from him over the last 2 days than we got in Byron's entire 2 years. And so, yeah.
I completely agree. It's and we are – a week away from free agency, 2 weeks away from summer league, and you bring up last year and where we were last year compared to this year, and even with last year being optimistic compared to where we were coming from the year before that, I'd still say it's black and white, you know, comparing where we are optimistically to back then. So, fun times, everybody. This was a fun show. I look forward to check out the iTunes page. Dave Schilling was on the podcast last week, and he was really good. He's always really good. Entertaining. Yep, he's always really good. And then I look forward to having a few more, different guests. Man, I suck at this, but I'm going to have a few more guests on the show as we head into free agency and some serious decision making time for the Lakers. As always, Harrison, thank you much for joining us, and as always, thank everybody for watching and listening.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Anthony.